Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Muslim and he knows their scripture, he said, O Prophet of Allah, these people are lying. Let them bring the Torah. So Abdullah ibn Suriya, one of their scholars, brought the Torah and he started reading. Of course, it was in Hebrew. He started reading and when he came to the verse of stoning, he put his hand and he read the following verse. Abdullah told him, remove your hand. So he removed his hand. And then when the man saw that he had no means or ways of escaping this, he said, Abdullah ibn Salam said the truth, O Prophet of Allah, we do have stoning. And this shows you how professional liars these people are. And it's found greatly and mainly in their scholars. Maybe the normal people would not have this, but their scholars and their dignitaries, so-called, they would have this. So the Prophet ﷺ ordered these two to be stoned to death. And one of the narrators of the hadith is saying that we've seen, and that is Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, I saw the man covering and protecting his girl, and they both died by stoning. Now, was there any confession? We didn't hear any of the confession. Or we did not hear about the witnesses, but there is another narration where the Prophet ﷺ said, provide your four witnesses, and they came and testified against them. So it is exactly like the Islamic way of implementing this case. Now, this is all what we have regarding the prescribed punishment on fornication and adultery. So do we have any questions or should we move, Ya Latif? A quick question. So let's take the brother, he did not ask.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh.
Alaykum assalam.
This is regarding the last hadith. If someone commits zina and do not tells anyone, and he prays to Allah for forgiveness, will this be accepted?
This is a $1 million question. It's a very good question. And Jazakallah khair for reminding me. Does Islam encourage people who fornicate or fall into sin to go to the judge so that they would be purified and expose themselves and expose their families and everyone knows in town that this is the father of this man? No. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ kept on encouraging people to conceal their sins. Ma'iz, four times, the Prophet is looking the other way around. With the Ghamidiyya, the woman who came and she said, purify me, I have committed fornication. The Prophet looked the other way around. She said, you want to do the same thing you did with Ma'iz? It's too late, I'm pregnant. Now, look how Islam helps to conceal sins and shortcomings. The Prophet told her, go until you give birth. So let's assume she was in her second month, third month. So she left for how many? 6 months. Everybody forgot about her. He did not put her in jail, huh? She came with a child. Still, her heart is burning with remorse and sadness of her sin. She said, O Prophet of Allah, I gave birth. Purify me, stone me. The Prophet said, go until you feed the child until he is not dependent anymore on your milk. Another year or a half, she goes, yet she comes back again. All of this shows you that Islam protects privacy and Islam encourages that people, when they fall in sin, they conceal that. Do not expose yourself. Do not show the world your sins and your shortcomings. So if someone falls in such a sin, we would tell them, never ever tell a soul. Brothers call and say, Sheikh, I'm getting married next week and I had affairs before marriage. So can I tell my wife? And I say, you'll be crazy. Because if you tell her, she will continuously remind you of, you had this, you did that, and your marriage would be a nightmare. Likewise, sisters come and say, we fell into the traps of shaitan and we had a relationship with a boy who promised us to marry him, but then he lied. And believe me, anyone who promises you to marry you is only thinking and getting into your pants. That's it. He is not interested. No one fears Allah and wants to marry you would do this. So now she says, when someone proposes, do I tell I did this and that? Shall I? And the answer is definitely not. Never ever in your wildest dream confess or say something to someone proposing or to your husband, because this is exposing what Allah has concealed. Allah has blessed you that He concealed it. Now you're making it open as if you are rejecting Allah's blessing over you. So your answer to your question, one has to conceal these sins. So we'll take one from the brother here.
Salaam, Sheikh.
Salaam.
My question is, if a man and woman done everything except the intercourse, what is the punishment for that?
This is not punishable by prescribed punishment. If a man and woman, they do everything except the actual intercourse, the actual penetration, then there is no prescribed punishment. Not that they are let go. This is up to the judge. He may flog them 50, 70, 90, but not reaching 100. Unless they are doing it in a way that is encouraging people, then he may go more than 100, no problem. And he may put them in jail, take a fine. Yet, alhamdulillah, Allah is most forgiving if they repent. The 5 daily prayers erases all of that with the grace of Allah. A quick question.
Sheikh, in case of a virgin man who is not married, the punishment is flogging and exile. In case of a married person, it is stoning to death. What about divorcee and widowed?
Now, same thing. A divorcee, a married man, a widowed, a divorcee, a married woman, a widow. They are all the same ruling, to be stoned to death. Anyone of these three has to be stoned to death.
Sheikh, one question on taxation, which referred to a short while back. You just said that it's not permissible to take tax. So what is your opinion on many governments collecting income tax and road tax, which is supposedly used for infrastructure development?
It is sinful for them to charge it. It is sinful for the people to work in such departments. But for the citizens, if they don't pay, they will be prosecuted and maybe thrown into jail. So they have to pay because of compulsion. But is it permissible Islamically? The answer is no, because the governments have a lot of money that they're hiding they can use for infrastructure. Yes, if, hypothetically speaking, if this happens, then it would not be taxation for road, for example, building and for road making. If someone is living in a rural area and he does not use that road, why do I charge him? I would make a fee, a toll. Whoever uses that road, maybe, if my treasury, if my vaults are all empty. But nowadays, we see that the countries are having a lot of wealth, having a lot of money, yet insisting on charging people taxations.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam.
My question is, if any person commits fornication, after that he got the punishment which he committed, is there any punishment by the Allah for him in the Akhirah?
We've answered this before. We said that Allah is generous, that He would not combine two punishment for the same crime. So if a person's sin was to fornicate and he was flogged, on the Day of Judgment, he would not be punished for that case of fornication he committed, because Allah purified him with flogging him. So Allah would not combine two punishments in this dunya and in the Akhirah for the same sin.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salaam.
Without questioning the Prophet, I just wanted to know if there is any specific reason to look up in Torah, check what punishment do they have in Torah regarding it.
Without what?
What punishment do they have regarding adultery in Torah? Is there any specific reason to check? Like if there is Sharia, what is the need to check in Torah for the punishment
regarding
it?
The hadith clearly stated that in the Torah, the punishment for adultery is stoning. That is why Abdullah ibn Salam told him, remove his hand. And then they read the verse that stated stoning. And we've said that before. In the Torah, in the Old Testament, there are a number of sins that are punishable by stoning. So fortune telling, the punishment, stoning. Cursing the king, stoning. Disobeying the parents, stoning. Fornicating, especially with the priest's daughter, as they clearly stated, stoning. An ox killing someone, stone the ox. And also adultery and blasphemy associating others with Allah. All of these sins are mentioned in the Torah, and I have the quotation, I have the references for them. You can have them if you want after the class, inshallah. And these are prescribed for these punishments.
Assalamu alaikum, Ashayin.
Assalam.
Actually, if a person commits zina and his mind is not, you know, sound, so in that case?
His mind is not sound, meaning that he's not sane. He's either, well, we know that the Prophet said, alayhi sallam, that the pen has been lifted over three, meaning that they're not accountable. Someone who's insane until he wakes up or becomes sane. Someone who is a child until he reaches the age of puberty. And someone who's asleep until he wakes up. So if a person who is a retard or labeled and considered to be insane completely is not accountable for his actions, and hence he would not be punished for that. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.